This is Stateside. I'm Zoe Clark in for Cynthia Canty.
The favorite part of my Michigan visit as a Floridian is not seeing snow this year. That's been kind of nice. I mean, this is a beautiful town, and it's nice to just kind of feel it a little bit more without thinking about having to bundle up.
You know that voice? That's Joshua Johnson, host of 1A from NPR, and he has been broadcasting this week from Michigan Radio and getting a better sense of our weather, but also what's on the mind of Michigan voters. It's been awesome to have you here. Hey.
Good to be here, Zoe. Thank you.
So you were in Detroit earlier this week. You were in Macomb County. You were in Lansing yesterday. What are you hearing from folks?
We're hearing a lot of different things. I mean, when we were in Macomb County, we were speaking to a gentleman named Brian DeHenno, who owns a roofing business, says he's got more business, more clients than he knows what to do with. Business is booming like crazy. He is among those voters who went for Obama and then went for Trump. And as a result, he says, of President Trump's economic policies, his business is through the roof. He has to rent out storage units because warehouse space for his materials is just impossible to come by. So part of what we were looking at is how people in the manufacturing sectors in and around Detroit in this part of Michigan feel about the economy today, who they credit for it, maybe who they blame, and how that affects their political expectations going into next year's elections. And they're all over the place. There's a wide spectrum, so there's no one view on it. But we heard from people who feel like President Trump is doing very much the right things, regardless of what people might think about his behavior or his personality, that has been useful. Other people who feel like Bernie Sanders stands a chance of winning their vote next year, and some who are concerned that the gains that have been made are temporary and that once the impact of the tariff war with China sets in, people may regret their support for President Trump. So we've heard a little bit of everything.
And you've been traveling across the country as part of 1A. Help put Michigan into context, right? So I'm asking you about Michigan voters. What does that look like compared to what other voters across the country are saying to you?
It is as complex as what voters are saying across the country.
Right.
I mean, Michigan is special and it's exactly the same. So many of the conversations that you are probably having, whoever you are, people are having in Northern Colorado and they're having in Houston, like they're having them all across the country. One of the reasons why we did 1A across America is to kind of descend on communities that we think get ignored generally during election cycles and just kind of listen to what people are talking about when the national media isn't showing up. And the ability of people to have honest, forthright, and not screaming, yelling, crazy conversations is something we've thankfully seen everywhere we've gone so far. So it's kind of heartening.
Are we as divided as a nation as we've sort of been led to believe over the past few years?
Well, there was that thing at Fort Sumter in 1860 that springs to mind. So no, we are not that divided. I think it's that we are so intimate with one another. It's almost like we're squished together because social media, that we're so much more aware of what other people are thinking. In America's history, it was much, much easier to silo yourself because unless you went looking for a contrasting point of view, you wouldn't find it. I mean, that's why the debates between Abraham Lincoln and Stephen Douglas were so revolutionary, right? Because they were arguing in public as opposed to just making stump speeches to their bases. Now, with technology, we don't even have to go the Lincoln-Douglas route. Lincoln and Douglas knock on your door or they buzz in your pocket and they kind of force you to hear them all day long. And it makes people feel like they are just in this echo chamber, this cacophony of noise that never stops.
So again, though, some of that, and we've talked about this before, does not sell, right? And that is not what the presidential candidates often are hearing, that it's sort of that fight, fight, fight is what the media sometimes kind of gloms onto. So I'm going to make you pretend to be a campaign manager or someone who can give some advice, because here's the thing. Presidential candidates, when they're out voting, like it's very staged, right? Like the folks that they're meeting and hearing from, the staff knows what the questions are going to be asked. You, Joshua Johnson, are hearing from everyday people every single day, one to one. What would you be telling the presidential candidates right now or Donald Trump? Like, what does the American public want to hear from these candidates?
Well, not that I would ever be a campaign manager,
yes,
but I think the candidates know what the American people want. I have to bear in mind as an interviewer that there is often a difference between what people say and what they do. You know, there's that old Nina Simone song that says, I can't believe nothing you say because I'm around and I see what you do. So there are the things that candidates say on the campaign trail. And then there are the things that they do that reporters like us have to say, well, actually, in 2017, you voted for X. And voters know that. So the candidates know that sooner or later, they're going to have to reckon with their records, especially if they continue to ascend in the campaigns. Until that point comes, you know, until the Iowa caucuses, until Super Tuesday, until the culling begins, they just need to talk to a base. They need to build a base from which to elevate their campaigns. As this campaign shakes out, the dialogue is going to get much more honest. Right now, it's not time for that. And election seasons now never end. I feel like the 2020 election has been going on since I was 11 years old, and it is seeming like it's just going to last maybe until 2028. But this is not the time to worry, I think, too much about whether candidates actually see you wherever you are on the political spectrum. That will shake out because our campaign season basically started the day Donald Trump was inaugurated president. It feels like it's just ongoing, never ending, nonstop. It's not. It's early. What the candidates are saying now matters, but it will matter much, much more the further we get into the election cycle. So I'm not sure I would give any of the candidates guidance on what to say to the American people, because we haven't finished the primaries yet. That person has got to worry about how to speak to the American people. Right now, candidates are focused on their bases, and rightly so.
So very quickly, talking about speaking to people, you are holding a community conversation this evening in Detroit. Tell me quickly a little bit about what you're doing.
We are indeed. We'll be at the Wright Museum in Detroit, which is one of the coolest museums I've ever seen. If you haven't stood under the Voice of God dome, what are you doing with your life? We'll be talking about Michigan becoming the 10th state in the U.S. to legalize recreational marijuana and a piece of the law that included, quote, a plan to promote and encourage participation in the marijuana industry by people from communities that have been disproportionately impacted by marijuana prohibition and enforcement, and so on. That often means people of color. And so we will be talking to African-American voters about this effort to enfranchise or perhaps re-enfranchise African-Americans in this growing industry, to deal with some of the heavy-handed law enforcement of the past, and look at that as kind of a microcosm on enfranchisement and equal opportunity and dealing with the ills of the past the way that Michiganders are dealing with this now. So it's kind of a narrower lens on a bigger issue.
Joshua Johnson, host of 1A from NPR. Thanks for giving Michigan some love this week.
My pleasure. Thanks for having us.